Hi, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the internet radio show that talks about the Akashic Records. We talk about your life, what's happening with your life, and if you have some questions about your life, and just stuff in general. Boy, I'll tell you, I have had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I've been really inundated with wonderful consultations, getting ready for the Level 1 workshop in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, next weekend. It's going to be on the 28th and 29th. And I'm lecturing at a wonderful place called the Lake Harriet Spiritual Community on Friday evening. And that's in Minneapolis. And so I'm excited. I haven't been to Minneapolis. I haven't been back to Minneapolis since, I think, 2007. And I was lucky enough, you know, to go there on a regular basis. And then my husband got sick and lots of things happened, you know, and wasn't able to travel the way I used to. But now I'm going back, and I am very excited about going back and seeing all the folks in Minneapolis. You know, it's interesting. You wouldn't think it, but Minneapolis seems like to be a real hotbed of spirituality. I mean, there's a lot of people doing a lot of wonderful work spiritually. There's lots of not only psychics, but Reiki people and body and energy people. And now, you know, again, I go back and I'm Akashic Records. So it's kind of like a full circle. And so I am very excited to go back to Minneapolis. In fact, you know, it's a wonderful kind of little story. When I started out in Minneapolis, I was relatively new with the records. I'd been working with the records for maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 years at the time, and so I had done this expo here in Cleveland, and there was this young man who came to me for a consultation, and when he came to me for the consultation, after he was done, I said, "Oh, by the way, how did you hear about me?" He goes, "Well, I saw your ad in the newspaper, in the New Age newspaper," he said, "but I was actually told to get an Akashic Record reading by the psychic named Echo Bodine. There were some things that she that I wanted to know, but she couldn't get at them because they were in the Akashic Records." And so I found your ad, and I wanted to have a consultation. So he did, and he said, as he's leaving, he said, "Oh, by the way, is it okay if I tell her about you?" And I went, "Oh, sure," you know, because I love referrals. I mean, everybody loves referrals. And so the next thing I know, this wonderful lady called Echo, by the name of Echo Bodine, called me. And I, again, she is from Minneapolis, and I had heard her name when at this expo that I had been at, but I didn't really connect with her. I was a speaker, she was a speaker, but kind of we were in different places at the same time, if you will. So when she called me, I hadn't had a really good psychic reading for a while, and so we traded. And after that, I started getting all these wonderful calls from people in Minneapolis. And the next thing I know, I was talking to somebody, and I thought to myself, "Wasn't that great? Echo's sending all of her friends. God, she's got a lot of friends." And the next time somebody called, I said, "By the way, how did you hear from me? How did you hear about me?" And she said, "I got your name off of Echo Bodine's voicemail." Now, remember, folks, this is back in 2000. Okay, or actually probably before that, 1999. And I, so websites weren't the big deal in 1999. You know, it's not like, you know, maybe there was email, but there wasn't the big deal of websites then. People were still dealing with just coming into the idea of getting a website, maybe. And anyway, so I said, "Okay." I said, "She got me off her voicemail?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, you're on Echo's voicemail." Well, I thought, isn't that interesting? And so again, one thing led to another. I had some wonderful calls, and I was starting to get a following in Minneapolis. And I received an email from somebody. They were having a talk, and some type of a group of people were talking. And this is right in 2001. It was right after it was, you know, I didn't know 9/11 was coming, but it was right after 9/11 that I saw that this person was having this gathering, and I got really strongly that I needed to go to Minneapolis. And so I called this lady and I said, I'd like to speak at your gathering. And she was very impressed that I'd want to come from Ohio to Minneapolis to speak at her gathering. So she gave me a 2-hour time slot, and it wasn't really an expo. It was I guess you could call it a mini expo. But anyway, long story short, so I talk at this wonderful gathering, and I met a wonderful lady by the name of Catherine Taylor, and there was a list of people that wanted me to come back and teach an Akashic Record workshop, and etc. And what was interesting is, so I went home, and I, you know, was thinking about when I was coming back, and I had gotten a couple of calls from that gathering encouraging me to be a part of the Edge Expo, which was coming up in November. And this, again, was in the late September, and I didn't really give it much thought because I didn't necessarily want to go back to Minneapolis for an expo. I wasn't sure what that was all about. In fact, it was my first time I was ever doing an expo in Columbus. And so I heard from three different people right at the end of October and maybe the beginning of November, and it was probably about a week and a half or about two weeks before the actual expo was going to be happening. It was actually the weekend of Thanksgiving. So there was Thanksgiving on Thursday, and the expo was on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so I heard it three times, and I thought, huh. You know, when you hear things three times, you really kind of want to act. So I went ahead and I called up Gary Beckman, who was at the time, and still does, puts on the Edge Expos in Minneapolis. And I called him and I told him who I was and what I did, and I mentioned the Akashic Records. I also mentioned that I knew Echo or Echo Boudin, and I felt that, you know, his attendees would probably benefit by a lecture, and I wanted a booth. So you remember, this is 2 weeks before, so there's no way to really promote me because the New Age newspaper was already out. They weren't really doing any kind of other promotions. And so the only time, so he ended up saying yes, and he gave me a good discount on the booth. And so I took off, and I went to Minneapolis. Now, what's interesting, at that time, my stepson was working for Northwest Airlines, so I was able to go on standby easily to pretty much wherever I wanted with my husband if he wanted to go, and if he didn't, I went on my own. So I went ahead and went to Minneapolis, and I set up the booth, and my good friend Judy Nolte, I was staying with her. And next thing, so we're at the booth, and this is the Friday, and I was passing out my flyers, and I was speaking on Saturday. And so Saturday comes, and I'm getting ready to speak, and the editor of the Edge of newspaper, Tim Mijan, comes to me and says, Donna, you're going to have to move. There, we didn't realize that when we were planning this is that the speaker who's in this room, they can't be speakers here because there's going to be a big drums on the other side. There's a drumming ceremony. I went, oh, okay. And well, geez, nobody knows where I'm at to begin with, and now I'm going to have to move. So, something's up, I'm thinking to myself, and spirit is acting. So I said, okay, where would you like me to move? And he says, okay, move into the lobby or the lobby of the Minneapolis Convention Center. So anybody who's been to the Minneapolis Convention Center, this is really a large area, and it's got really high ceilings, you know, that as convention centers do. And so here I am, kind of like in the midst of this large area, and so he's telling me to have the people bring their chairs, and I did. And so the people that were there, they brought their chairs, and again, so I've got my back to where the people are gathering with their chairs, and I had my back to them because I was gathering my literature to pass out, and I literally turned around, and originally there were maybe about 30 or 40 people in the room as we were gathering. When I turned around, there was like 125 people who had brought chairs up to in a circle, you know, in a half circle to listen to me talk. And by the time we were done there, I think there was about 140 people. It was like the most amazing thing. It's like these folks were just drawn to the energy of the Akashic Records. Now, I understand that this was not me. In other words, like, it's not that I'm not a nice lady. It's not that the people hadn't kind of heard that I do the Akashic Records, but there was no doubt in my mind that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records literally handpicked the people that were at that lecture. And it was such an amazing turnout for this lecture that, again, Tim Mijan, the editor of The Edge, was so impressed. In fact, they took pictures of all these people gathered around for this lecture, that he called me after the workshop, after the expo, and asked and wanted to do an interview with me. So I did the interview, and it actually appeared in January. Now, I want to go back and tell you that I had gone into the records to ask to show me what it would feel like for the best weekend to do the workshop in Minneapolis. And they... the master teachers and loved ones made it very clear that I was to go back and in January 27th, 28th, and this is of 2002 now, for me to do the the workshop. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like taking off and landing on ice. So I'm thinking, oh, you got to be wrong. This is Minneapolis. So they have like below zero weather there. Why would I go in January like this? And this feeling was really strong. So that's what I was promoting at the expo, to go ahead and do the workshop in January. And then there was this article in The Edge that came out at the end of December, beginning of January. Well, there were 40 people that signed up to be in that Level 1 workshop in Minneapolis, Minnesota in 2002. And remember that list that I had gotten in September from those people that were at the original gathering? I lost the list. So anybody that was on that list, I never contacted. These people who came to the workshop had come from The Edge and were called from the expo. Now, I tell you this because the interesting thing about that is here I am going back to Minnesota, and as I told you, I haven't been there since 2007, and there's this wonderful student of mine. Her name is Dawn Marion, who is in Italy right now, and she has been gently encouraging me to go back to Minneapolis. Well, what's interesting about that also is the fact that she had done this lecture, and she had these names of people who wanted to come to this workshop when I came. And in moving, I lost the list. And so there's only a couple of people that were tenacious enough to call to find out when that workshop would be, who are going to be attending. And we now have 16 people attending this workshop on the 29th, the 28th and 29th. And it was very clear to me that Spirit, Akashic Record Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones had wanted me to start from the beginning, because I've had two computers crash both of which had my information and my mailing list and my email list from Minneapolis and every place else, for that matter. So I am literally starting from scratch, starting at the beginning, starting with total faith. And what's come forward is there's 16 wonderful people that have been called to this work. Now, for those of you who have never been to an Akashic Record workshop, we don't do these workshops in ballrooms. This is not where a type of workshop where hundreds of people come. A good class for an Akashic Record workshop is typically between 10, 15 people. And this one has got 16. So, you know, I personally have learned over the years that I don't really want to teach a class larger than 16 people because I want to be able to give the individual attention. So this is very interesting that it's almost a total recreation, other than me speaking at an expo, of of losing the list and having these other people come forward. So I thought you'd find that story is interesting. And the reason it's, to me, it is so profound is the fact that what it shows is that when you put your step forward to do what you love, to move into your own power, when you take that step forward, Spirit meets you and brings you even farther. And so it's the faith of doing what you love and knowing that you are doing what creates the greatest joy in your heart. When you do and experience the greatest joy in your heart by working your purpose, then Spirit comes forward and meets you, you know, more than halfway. And what's important about that is it's about really, really getting clear about what makes your heart sing. It's really getting clear about what is important to you, what you want to do, what brings you bliss, what you can't imagine yourself not doing. And for those people who have been listening to Akashic Wisdom for a while, and after a while, I've been doing this for like, 6 years? I think it's six years this weekend or something. Anyway, or next weekend, whatever. What I will tell you is that there's nothing I enjoy more than doing lectures, opening up the records of the group, bringing forth a message for the group, and then taking individual questions. And this is something that now that my life is, I'm putting my life back together again. As again, if you've been listening, you know that my husband died 2 years ago, and I am putting my life back together again. I've sold my house, and you know, we all have things that happen in our lives that don't stop us so much, but just kind of hold us where we're at for other reasons, and then our life gets redirected. Well, I want to tell you all who are listening that I am right now in the position that I can go where I am invited. I want to start traveling again to do the lectures and the workshops. And I now have a partner to do it with, and that partner is my cat, Zoe, Zohar. And he just jumped up on my desk to say hello to everybody. And he's coming to Minneapolis with me. And what came forward from the records earlier today is the way he works is he goes where he needs to within the crowd and either sits with them or will even sit at their feet if it's not appropriate. And it will either comfort them or help, his energy will help expand their consciousness. And so now we are a team. Zohar and I are are going to be traveling, and so he's coming to Minneapolis, and everything has fallen into place for me to bring him. And you know what's interesting is that people who are typically allergic to cats are not allergic to Zoe. He carries such a strong energy that they are just not allergic to him. So I find that interesting. And his energy is very, very strong. And he is a really wonderful kitty cat. And I am so glad that he is the grandson of Pooda, Lori Rianne's wonderful kitty cat. So he's got a powerful energy. He's a powerful healing cat. And so basically, have prayer, will travel. So if there's anyone out there that is interested in having an Akashic Records event at their group or their church or their gathering, please contact me, because I'm ready to put my traveling boots on, and I'd love to come and meet you and come to your gathering and talk about the records, and then do consultations or a workshop, whatever makes sense. And if that's at all attractive to you, you can either call me here at the station and call me on our 800 number, or you can certainly call me privately at 216-691-1233, and we will talk about me coming out your way to be able to lecture at your place. So that's why this weekend has been full of doing wonderful back-to-back almost consultations for all these wonderful people who have signed up for the workshop next weekend. So, in fact, that's what happens if you sign up for an Akashic Record workshop. You also get a one-hour telephone consultation with me. So I hope that is possibly encouraging. Probably going to have an Akashic Record workshop here in Ohio, probably in March. So if you're at all near the Ohio area and would like to have more information about that, please give me a call. And again, you can call me at 216-691-1233. However, if you're looking to call tonight and have a question to be answered on the radio and talk to me personally, you certainly can do that. You can call BBS Radio, and the telephone number is, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, is 888-429-5471. And I will be here. In fact, Don is our producer, and he will answer the phone and put you right on with me. And so I'd love to have to talk to you about whatever's on your mind tonight. If you have any questions at all about the Akashic Records, I'd love to answer those for you. And that's kind of where we're at. Miracles are happening all over these days. It's really important. You know, we talked about earlier about the message from the Akasha about the 2012. And what's important is that we truly kind of lay down our gauntlets, if you will. What that means is that we really get clear about what we want our next steps to be. And it's important that we take one step forward and allow the universe to take five steps towards us. Take one step towards the universe, towards doing what you love, and allow spirit to come and meet you more than halfway. And so that's what's happening there. If you would like to email me a question tonight, you can certainly do that. You can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and we will take your questions. So feel free to email, feel free to call, and whatever you want to ask, the masters, teachers, and loved ones will give you an answer. I do want to say that we don't typically do futures, because futures aren't 100% set yet. Remember that we are living on a free will planet, which means that our choices create our future. So, but that doesn't mean that possibilities or probabilities aren't able to be shared we certainly can do that, because there's many probabilities and possibilities within the within your lifetime. And you know, the other thing, as we move through our life, we really have to move forward in looking at what belief systems we have that are no longer valid, that are not even ours, that we are operating under, and they're not even our belief systems, they're somebody else's opinions. And this is the time to start purging those. And the way you do that is by starting to take really important note, become vigilantly aware when you're thinking negative thoughts about whose voice are you hearing? Who are the biggest naysayers in your life? Who are the biggest the people that were important to you that you're still trying to seek their approval by trying to do it their way? And what you're noticing by doing it their way is that you're not happy, because you can't do it any other way but your way and be happy. If you try to do it their way, you just end up frustrated and unhappy. So it's really about getting clear about what is your definition of your life and how do you want your life to look and feel. And I've got to tell you, I know how hard that is sometimes. I know how hard it is to kind of make a decision. You're afraid to be wrong. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Because you know what? We are all perfect in our imperfection. But sometimes even being aware of what your possibilities are hard to do. So I encourage you to write down everything that would make your heart sing in this lifetime. What would you like to create that would make your heart sing? Write it all down and see where your passion lies. See where your focus lands once you write it all down. You know, it's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to write it down, because as you're writing, there's going to be one piece or one idea or one concept or one career that you're going to get really excited about, that's going to be different than the others. You're going to feel a level of passion or excitement or fulfillment when you're writing it down that you don't feel with the other ideas. And that's the one you focus on. So many times people in will ask in their consultations, what is my life's purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And what you're supposed to be doing is doing what you love. And releasing the fear of doing what you love. Because we're raised with unfortunately sometimes our parents let us know what we shouldn't be doing rather than encouraging us to do whatever it is that'll make us happy. And we need to really look at what makes us happy. It's 11:29 here in Cleveland. Well, actually, again, I'm not in Cleveland. I'm in Akron, but in Ohio. Let's put it that way. It's 11:29 in Ohio, and Zoe is starting to go to sleep at my computer. He is lovingly here to lend his energy to anyone who wants to be a part of that energy. So I would love to hear from you. So let me give you that telephone number again. It's 888-429-5471. And you can call and ask your questions. If you have a friend that doesn't have a computer, you can listen on your phone to the broadcast by dialing 760-569-7676, and the access code is 192919#. So just know this, okay? If you happen to be out of the country and out of the U.S. or Canada, you can dial 530, actually our country code is 011, 530-413-9537. So feel free to call in and ask your questions. Love to hear from you. Okay. And again, many times what will happen is if we don't have a lot of callers, I just let end the program early. And I'd really love to talk to you because you know what? I've got to tell you, the whole reason I do this program is to help people. Let's see. We have a question here. Okay. 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 Okay, so the question that we have from Bob is years ago, I'm going to read you his question. Years ago, while working at a ski resort, I was skiing down from work with two coworkers. One took a terrible crash into some trees. It was obvious to me that she was severely injured. The other girl who was skiing with us had already gone down the mountain, so I whipped around and looked up. No one was around except for me. At that moment, it seemed to me that even though there was no one around, that I was not alone. I felt a presence from something that was around me, and it was obvious that they wanted me to assist the girl. Through a series of amazing events that defy coincidence, I was in perfect view of an emergency phone at the exact moment when another skier stumbled upon the accident. My question is twofold. Was there something around me at the time, and if so, what was it? And two, I am very curious as to what happened with the girl. Her name was Helen. She was from Australia, and she did get hurt badly but survived. I do not think she would have survived if I were not there at the time, so I've always felt a responsibility for how her life turned out. I was hoping the records could provide some insight into that incident and how her life turned out. Okay, so, well, Bob, it's really important that you understand. First of all, we can go ahead and ask these questions, wait for the answers. Typically, we don't get information about other people. We can't open anybody else's records without their permission. However, we're just going to wait and see what shows up. Okay, so the interesting thing about what I'm hearing here is that the energy around you was a protective energy that kept her intact until help could come. That other skier happened to stumble upon the accident, there was no coincidence. That was like, I'm hearing a form of an angelic being for help. That's what they had, that's what I'm hearing. And the other piece is that Helen, really took this accident with, again, without getting into specifics because I can't get at them. It's important for you to know that this accident literally changed her life. there was something that she saw and felt within that energy. And so it was really important that you were there, and hopefully this is helping you. But you carry that kind of energy with you. You carry the energy of the divine with you in a very real way. But then I don't think that's news to you. I think you already know that. So hopefully that's helpful. So please feel free to ask another question if you'd like. That was kind of easy. But again, we can't open the records of anyone without their permission. So just kind of know that. But thanks for your question. So deeply appreciate it. Okay. So who else is out there that would like to ask a question and have it answered from the Akashic Records? Okay, there's something else coming forward here. And this is for these are great questions from Nikki. Wondering about how to keep having faith as guided when consistent practice of following my heart seems to consistently get nowhere. Have taken numerous steps out and wondering why, feeling like not really being met to have that go further. What about this? Okay. Also, the question is coming forward, how myself and individuals can go about accessing our personal truth. Okay, so the personal truth piece is very important. What's going on with the personal truth is that within your being, there have been situations where you had a sense of something and you went against that sense. This is not a criticism. It's a wanting to show you about awareness. What's important for you, or for not only you, Nikki, but everybody out there that wants to get at their personal truth, it's about telling yourself the truth about what's really happening. You've got to tell yourself the truth about what's really happening. And the reality here has to do with being clear about what you truly want and not trying to control or fix other people. Now, the reality here on that has to do with there are many healers out there that feel it's their job to help others. And the reality is the most important person to be helped is yourself. You can't help others until you feel good about you. And you cannot continue to help others and not yourself. And what you have to start doing is telling yourself your own truth. And when you start telling yourself the truth about what's really going on, then your life changes. And so what is the truth about what you're hearing? You're hearing to have faith. And the reality is it's about for you, Nikki, it's about you not only creating an area or an environment of happiness, but it's also about making getting your livelihood from your spirituality, of which you're so good. Your livelihood has to come from your gifts, and you have to ask about how to make money with your gifts. I know that sounds really mercenary, But the reality is that's part of stepping into your power. You can no longer give your gifts away and expect others to respect what you do, because you cannot, can you no longer give it away. Spiritual gifts, like any other talent, need to be reimbursed. You need to be able to have an energy exchange. And the energy exchange needs to be fair. And your life needs to be balanced. And so it's important that you consider what you need to do to be able to create a balanced life. And a balanced life means that you feel good about you, and you feel good about your environment, and you feel good about your work. Right now you're dealing with anger because things aren't, you've kept a lot of faith and it hasn't gone the way you wanted it to go. The reality is that there comes a time where you can keep faith and move forward at the same time. So the idea of your personal truth, it's important for you to start telling yourself the truth about what you truly want, about where you want to live, about how you want to live, about what your true fears are. And it's important that for all of us that we first put the faith into ourselves. We need to be an example for others. And I am learning this more and more. And I personally know that I have, in some cases, have not been the best example. And I haven't been the best example for me. And I haven't been the best example for other people. But I understand it now. And I understand the only person that blocks me from doing or being whatever I choose is me. Because I don't listen. Or I expect something else to do it for me. It's what was said earlier. You need to make the first steps or two, and then Spirit will meet you where you are. But you need to have a plan. And up to this point, you haven't had one. So this is said in great love, because you are a dynamic, wonderful human being and a wonderful spiritual being. And this goes out not only to you, Nikki, but there are many people out there wondering what step to take next. And the question comes back to you, what would give you the greatest joy? And it's not about fixing other people, but what would give you the greatest joy for you to do? Part of what you're not doing is moving into your power and moving into your greatness. And boy, I know about that. And I know how hard that is. But you are encouraged, you're being encouraged to create a plan that will help you feel good about you and help you create a goal that you can accomplish. Okay, great. We have a couple other questions coming in. Great. Good job, folks. Thanks. Okay. let's see here. Okay, so this is from Don. This is quite interesting. He says, Don, hi. I'm an old guy snowed in my apartment in a small university town in central Washington State. I have led a blessed and maturing path, learning to more effectively service others. Are the current situations and choices I have been making helping to remain on this path now. And the comment here, Don, is if it feels good, do it. That should give you a chuckle. The reality is the best barometer we have around knowing whether we're on the appropriate path is how much joy we're feeling when we're doing it. That's the barometer. That's the only barometer, basically. If it feels good, continue to do it. If it doesn't feel good, adjust it until it does. We are meant to be joyful. We are meant to do things that create bliss. We are meant to do things that help us feel fulfilled. And if that's not where you're at, I'm not speaking of you specifically, Don, but I'm speaking of other people that are listening. If you're not in a state of bliss and happiness with what you're doing, then figure out what it is and start doing it. Even if you're in a job that you hate, when you're off that job, figure out what brings you joy and add that to your life. The barometer is to make yourself happy and to feel good about what you're doing. Hopefully that's helpful. Let me know if that's been helpful. Okay. Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, so Kim is writing a question. And Kim says, good evening. I am 5 months pregnant with my third child, and I am curious if you can let me know if my baby and I share any past lives together. Not sure if you're able to see that. Well, interestingly enough, Kim, what's going on, typically, the rule is we don't open up the records of anybody under the age of 18. However, what's being said here about you and this child has to do with your choice of bringing this child into the world. Now, we can't see what the contract of your baby is for you, but we see what your contract is for you and this child. And this particular child will be a very sensitive child, and you will nurture this child in a way that helps them feel safe about being human. We can tell you that this is a relatively new soul. And good possibility this is the first time this child has been on this planet. So it's really going to be important for you to teach this child how to be human at the highest level of humanity. In fact, you are going to need to actually begin to understand or look at what that means to you for the other two children. What does it mean to be a human at the highest level of humanity? Which means being compassionate, caring, understanding, loving, yet having boundaries and not enabling, but supporting, allowing curiosity, allowing the children to make mistakes and learn by the mistakes. And so we are to our children as God is to us. We hold the energy for our children to grow, to learn, to mature, and through those children growing up with us, we teach them what love is about. We teach them about unconditional love. We teach them about learning to not only love themselves, but other people. And so it's really going to be important that you teach your children, all of your children, to be non-judgmental, to hold love in their hearts, and to learn to be a human at the highest level of humanity. So I hope that was helpful. These are great questions, guys. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. The job that we as humans have, again, they're saying, is to be happy. We need to decide what makes us happy. And making what that means is what makes us happy. It's not about expecting another human being to make us happy. It's not about expecting anybody else's actions to make us happy. It's about what actions can we take to be happy and content and that feel good about ourselves and our environment. We really need to understand that. We really need to redefine that for ourselves. And many times, it's something that needs to be redefined on a regular basis. Because what's true today may not be true tomorrow. But only we, as human beings living in on a human planet, can control what makes us happy to the point that we make plans or set goals or create a structure or create an environment for which we are happy. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody likes the lot in life. Clearly, there's a lot of people who've been given a lot of lemons, but they end up making lemonade. And that's the key. The key is to make lemonade out of the lemons that are given you. The key is to understand what are the lessons in this. That's what we have to understand. I really appreciate the feedback. Bob has emailed back, and he says, "Hi, Donna, thank you. Helen did get severely injured. She tore her spleen and punctured a lung. I did not realize at the time, but she was losing consciousness. When I visited her in the hospital, she beamed when she saw me, but I was self-conscious about everything that had happened. The contact with the presence was daunting to me, as they were adamant that I was the only one that could help, but that it was my choice. I was only 19 years old and was very shy and reserved and never would have been so bold to have acted without being faced with a situation as dire as that one. Also, that presence is quite intense and clear in its intention. Unfortunately, Helen's visa had expired, so she was deported to the United States, so I'm glad that the event was life-changing and hopefully life-affirming for her." And hopefully, and Bob goes on to say that he has a lengthy question. He'll try to call in next week. But he thinks that the listeners will enjoy hearing it. But there isn't enough time this week because we're almost out of time. Well, next week we're going to be doing the program from Minneapolis, and that will be after the workshop. And we'll see how many folks want to stay to be a part of the program. So we will look forward to hearing from Bob, and we'll look forward to hearing from you. And please feel free to email your questions for for the records over the week. I'll be checking email, and would love to be able to put your questions in a special place to be answered next week. So, well, it's about that time, folks. It's 11:55 here in Ohio. And so I'm going to close the records unless there's a one last caller that tries to get through or that wants to email a question. You have about a minute to type that up and send it on down. So, Don, I hope the snow ends, and there's something really cozy about being snowed in. Hopefully you have enough food, and I'm sure you have enough reading material, and after all, you've got your computer. So, you know, we're not quite, we can go anywhere in the world with our computers, even if you're snowed in. And I hope all is well in your world, Don. Thank you for your question. And Nikki, I hope the question was answered. Although I don't ever know that you're going to get an answer to your question until you really move into your own power and start taking charge of your gifts. So that's one of the things that's coming forward. We needed to really take and own our gifts and realize that we do have a lot to share. We can't make people listen to us, but we can do what we can do to assist those who ask. And remember, it's about a balanced life. It must be balanced. Because unless it's balanced, when tough things happen, they're hard to take. And so I'm going to put something out there I would like to talk with somebody who does phrenology. So if anybody does phrenology, let me know. So that would be something I'd really be interested in knowing more about. So at this point, I want to share with you that again, you can come to the lecture next week at Lake Harriet Spiritual Community in Minneapolis, Minnesota. If you'd like to call me for an individual consultation, my private number is 216-691-1233. And I look forward to talking to everybody. We're going to be on the show next week. And Kim says thank you. Thank you, Kim, for emailing back. And at this point, we just want to say this is Donna Fox with the Akashic Records at Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show. And right now, we're going to close the records and say we want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on January 22nd, 2012 are closed. Have a miracle-filled week, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. Good night.